Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love.
Greetings, everyone. This is Cosmic Love for July 23rd, 2016. And today I'll be discussing some of the big changes that are coming to politics, economics, and all of our social institutions. In short, the future we are seeing unfold in America and worldwide. So some of you might be listening because you received the email I sent out to my Cosmic Love show list. And you may have some questions. You can certainly are welcome. In this show, if there's something that piques your interest and you'd like to discuss, feel free to call in. In the meantime, I'm going to be going into some of the future vision, kind of get past the fray that we see in politics and economics right now, so we don't descend too far into the quagmire and try and get on top of it with some of the positive things that we could see coming upon the world. And I'm going to be going into that a little bit. First, for example, the computer internet revolution is rapidly transforming the entire world with knowledge of breakthrough capabilities for global enlightenment in many ways. This is the huge elephant in the room we rarely talk about. But global transformation is moving fast, and some would say too fast. Others can't wait to see things getting better. Let me explain some of the amazing developments, for example. There's almost 5 billion global netizens who are now connecting with the Internet. 1.5 billion are on Facebook alone, and the remote villages worldwide now have satellite downlinks directly to computers. World-class education and information is providing access to the Khan's Academy, which you can... If you know the Khan's Academy, you realize that it's a worldwide phenomenon online on the Internet through these satellite connections for learning art, engineering, design, languages, science, music, mathematics, etc. This is going on globally, remote villages, Africa, Asia, all over the world. Now, the cheapest smartphones are already about $10 in Africa and Asia. In a few years, most Americans will own a smartphone. Most humans will own a smartphone or a device that can also provide unprecedented knowledge resources. So this is global enlightenment, like 10 industrial revolutions and Protestant reformations all rolled into one. I mean, it's so far beyond any enlightenment globally in history that it's hard to equate it quite to anything other than something as vast as multiple industrial revolutions and Protestant reformations, enlightenments, etc. For example, did you know that you can buy a small earpiece insert for foreign travels that automatically translates other languages into English? Think about that. It's coming to the Internet. Social networks worldwide will have universal translation into all languages. So the global village implications for the family of mankind is becoming self-evident. Net reality, you might say, has gone mainstream. Most people in America and worldwide now get their news from the Internet. And the Internet genie is not going back into the bottle. So the Internet is highly decentralized and horizontally integrated with mass interaction worldwide. And by contrast, the no longer mainstream media is diminishing in influence with its highly centralized, top-down, one-way programming of the masses. Now, this is, you might say, the real cause of the clash of civilizations, it's sometimes called, but the only clash is between decentralized and centralized power from the top and power from the grassroots or from the net roots. And we're talking about the general enlightenment versus the control matrix that the status quo tries to maintain. So things are changing fast. Global freedom of speech, for example, has matured with the Internet's more interactive platform for connecting people worldwide. And this, if you think about it, the freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, has been updated by the Internet immensely. It's like we never hear about that, but it's really, you might say, a universal rights in the public sphere are going mainstream with these capabilities of instant, everywhere, interactive telecommunication. Another breakthrough that you may have heard about that really has phenomenal, stupendous potential worldwide is an application that you can download for your smartphone called Heart's Ring. Which lets you know while you're talking whether you're in heart coherence or not. Heart coherence, you know, the frequency of holy compassion, the golden ratio algorithm of the heart rhythm. If you just Google Dan Winter Heart Ring, Heart's Ring, Dan Winter Heart's Ring. I had Dan on Cosmic Love a few years ago to explain his decades-long development of the algorithms for this universal standard for heart-centric telecommunications with the heart. Another huge shift going on is global healthcare, which will soon be revolutionized with free online information resources that are highly personalized to your health symptoms and body type. Artificial intelligence software was already getting better results than doctors in 9 of 10 cases a decade ago. And now data informatics are far more advanced. They call it the science of data informatics, organizing information in formation with automated information services like the automated translation capabilities that are becoming universal on the Internet. Now, this is all universalizing, you might say, global rights in the public sphere. These are huge developments whereby, you know, the family of mankind is connecting in a global village of instant, everywhere, interactive Internet capabilities that are maturing very quickly with an abundance of consciousness, of opportunity, of developments for the abundant life, the next economy. And, of course, the next economy will eclipse the old economy, the economics of scarcity, which is an oxymoron, the value of scarcity, that has succeeded to the point where gross defects, scarcity, now exceed social gains, you might say. In other words, that system of the value of scarcity is being transcended by extraordinary abundance of knowledge, power, opportunity, development capabilities that are moving forward. Now, I'm going to step back here just a little bit, give kind of an overview of how much change, how things have been changing, how fast, and many of you can remember this, how back about, and it was about 1998, Kodak had 170,000 employees and sold 85% of all their photo paper worldwide. But within just a few years, their business model disappeared and they went bankrupt. What happened to Kodak will happen to a lot of industries in the next 10 years. And most people don't see it coming. They don't understand this digital computer internet revolution. I mean, did you think in 1998 that 3 years later you would never take pictures on paper film again? Digital cameras were invented in 1975. The first ones had only 10,000 pixels, but they followed Moore's law, so, as with all exponential technologies, it was a disappointment with 10,000 pixels for a long time before it became way superior and got mainstream in only a few short years. It will now happen with artificial intelligence, holistic healthcare, automatic electric cars, education, 3D printing, agriculture, and jobs. We're talking about a digital, industrial, technological communications revolution that some people are calling the exponential age, the communications age, telecommunications age, the informations age, but things are changing rapidly at an exponential rate. There's an integration of these technologies going on. Just like on the internet, you have a massive exponential increase in knowledge, power, and to a certain extent, wisdom, as these new interactive communication technologies recycle general knowledge to generate specific wisdom. So software, pretty much the heart of this, software and what I call hardware, which is an interactive interface for mass-to-mass telecommunications, they'll be naturally disrupting most traditional industries big time in the next 5 to 10 years. And mind you, Uber is just a software tool. If you know of Uber, most people with a smartphone do, Uber doesn't own any cars and are now the biggest taxi company in the world. Airbnb is now the biggest hotel company in the world. And they don't own any properties. Artificial intelligence, computers become exponentially better at understanding the world as less becomes more. Smaller chips have more knowledge power in them. I mean, the knowledge power, computing power in a smartphone is greater than the computers that were used to send first man to the moon. And this last year, a computer beat the best Go players in the world. I'm not sure what Go is, of course, an online game some of you know of. 10 years earlier than expected. Of course, computers have been beating chess champions for years now. And in the U.S., young lawyers already don't have jobs because you can get legal advice, more or less basic stuff, from I.B. Watson within seconds, with 90% accuracy compared with 70% accuracy when done by humans. So if you study law, stop immediately, unless you're into a specialty field or into common law, which is kind of like more like common sense, and I highly recommend everyone tune up on that skill, common law. Anyway, there will be 90% less lawyers in the future. Only specialists will remain. And this is all information, informatics technology. Facebook now has this pattern recognition software that can recognize faces better than humans. And it's estimated that in 2030, computers will become more intelligent than humans. Of course, they're heartless. So how can they have more intelligence? You know, heart coherence is a factor with humans that computers just do not lack. And emotional intelligence is a function of heart coherence. And real intelligence, sometimes referred to IQ, is a function of heart coherence, because mind congruence is a function of heart coherence. So back to this understanding of the coherence breakthrough, the technology that actually lets you know on your smartphone, and it can be also with internet communications, whether you're in your heart or not when you're communicating, says a lot about whether you're congruent in your mind or not. And so the evolution of social conscience and social networks will be a function of heart coherence and mind congruence, emotional intelligence as well as intellectual intelligence. I mean, the changes that are coming so fast, automatic cars, we're starting to see them on the road now, these cars that drive themselves, they're still at a primitive stage. It's estimated that in 2020, the complete automobile industry will start to be disrupted. You don't want to own a car. You will call a car with your phone. It will show up at your location and drive you to your destination. You will not need to park it. You only pay for the driven distance and be productive while driving. Our kids will never get a driver's license. We'll never own a car. Think about this. We'll change to cities because we will need 90 to 95% less cars for that. We can transform former parking space into parks. 1.2 million people die each year in car accidents. We now have one accident every 100,000 kilometers. But with autopilot driving, that will drop to one accident in 10 million kilometers. That will save a million lives each year. Now, this is just all estimated, but this is where it's going. Most car companies might become bankrupt. Traditional car companies try the evolutionary approach and just build a better car, while tech companies, Tesla, Apple, Google, will try the revolutionary approach and build a computer on wheels. Think about it. That's the way they think of it. These tech companies, they're going to be building a computer on wheels. A lot of engineers from Volkswagen and Audi are completely terrified of Tesla. This is a big shift in the way things are going. Excuse me while I get a drink here. So we're also going to see insurance companies will have massive trouble because without accidents, insurance will become 100 times cheaper. Their car insurance business model will disappear. And real estate business is bound to change because if you can work while you commute, people will move further away to live in a more beautiful neighborhood. I mean, did anyone hear of Airbnb before? Think of Dennis
on line one.
I've got a caller come in. Who do we have here?
Yeah, hello, Christopher. This is Dennis.
Hey, Dennis. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, I wanted to call in and just say hello and maybe have a couple of questions and see if you, how much more you can get into certain subjects about the future and what we can do.
Well, the future is what we make it. I've put out that, there's a positive way of looking forward to the future with fearless faith. That it's all in divine order. Things are going to work out for the best, whether we know it or like it or not. And it sure beats the alternative of seeing how things, politics and economics are in chaos, you might say, and a point of contention with just about everyone.
Yeah, I noticed I was reading your email, and you're obviously very specific about some of the problems in the whole Clinton situation, and it's pretty serious in terms of if we continue on with that mindset, with that governmental control, we're going to be in big trouble. And I wonder how that would play in with some of these various future events and future issues that you've been talking about. What if we do get the situation where the dark side continues on? What kind of influence do you think that'll have?
Well, there's a general enlightenment process that's going on I call it net reality. The internet globally, worldwide knowledge, power, people are worldwide are discovering worlds of knowledge, power, breakthroughs, the correct history of the West, you know, the correct history of the banking system, the true story about false flags and how they're used to create and manage terror, to control populations, and to maintain fear, faithless fear, and to keep people feeding their fear and anxiety into the clamor for more security, more government control, surveillance, you know, whatever it takes to keep them safe. And this faithless fear is diametrically opposed to fearless faith. So there's that movement going on with people conceiving and believing, you know, how globally we can achieve, you know, even take it to the ultimate, you know, expression of a golden age and what that would look like and how that would work. How there can be an abundance of knowledge for wholeness and healing and blessing and sealing with, you know, of security because of there is fearless faith and endless peace and love and health rather than the alternative, which is endless war, disease, and death and hell on the planet. Now, some people are hooked into that, the negative, and that's all they can see. Now, that's, you know, they can't see the positive because they're so cynical with the negative that they're stuck in negativity. And I refer to stuck in negativity as sin, S-I-N, stuck in negativity against the Holy Spirit of I am, I can, I will, by God's grace, done deal, winning from the beginning, fantastic, and getting better. You know, there's the positive, and there's right. Stuck in negativity. And each moment is a choice. Civilization is at that choice point. It has, you know, the general enlightenment is like a flood of, there's like a surge in the collective conscience of humanity that sees with hope for the opportunity of utilizing this knowledge, power, and wisdom potential for, you know, wholeness and healing, and, you know, love heals all. And but the light brings up, you know, all unlike itself. You know, expression. I think it was a scriptural reference. You know, light shined in the darkness, but the darkness comprehendeth it not. But at the same time, the only thing that's going to neutralize the negativity, you know, is not airy-fairy positivity, but a vision of virtue and valor for the victory of social conscience in our social networks worldwide. And that's what's going on, but it really rattles the cage of...
So I have a question about, you know, time.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand what you didn't mean to interrupt you there, but what you're saying, and I understand what you're saying, I agree with what you're saying, but I've always been concerned, and not that anybody really knows the answer, but I just wanted to hear what your perceptions are, of time. In other words, all of the golden age, the increase in consciousness, the awareness that people will eventually kind of go out of the old age into the new age, that sort of thing. But there appears, I mean, it's pretty self-evident. You look around, and things are pretty negative. And that's what's driving our society, academia, the media, all of these weird organizations that are out there. And so it seems to be getting more difficult. And so the question of time comes in. What do you see as... Well, I can talk about what's necessary, but what do you see as the effect of the current negativity, if you want to call that, or demonic control, in terms of having some of these other positive influences actually take hold? I mean, what do you think we've got to go through here?
Well, you know, it's there's a dynamic that goes on, and it really comes down to each individual, whether, you know, they see things as the cup half empty or the cup half full. Some people see the chaos and confusion, cognitive dissonance, you know, the outright lying in the media, whatever, they see that as, you know, it's going down. Things are going down. And other people see what's going on with more of a philosophically correct, the justice that just is, it's darkest before the dawn, been down so long, civilization looks like up from here. And it's just, you know, moment to moment, each moment, everyone, as we see the world, we create momentum with our thoughts. There's a principle of quantum reality, quantum science, quantum physics, whereby the way we view, you know, observe an event influences the outcome. And the way the collective humanity is viewing our conscious evolution at this point, whether it's self-destructing or on the way down, or reconstructing and on the way up, or both. And that's actually realistically what's going on. There's a disintegration and reintegration going on at the same time. Within everyone, that's basically awakening to the choice, moment to moment, building momentum to either see through the glass darkly or see through the glass clearly. Cup half empty, cup half full. How we conceive and believe a thing is how we achieve it, whether it's fearless faith or faithless fear. And, of course, fear brings your worst fears upon you, whereas faith, I don't know. What's a good metaphor for faith?
Well, you walk by faith, not by sight.
There we go.
In other words, and faith is also a gift from God also, along with grace. And sometimes people ask, well, see, what do I do about it? Where's my choice here? If I'm saved by grace through faith, and God gives me both faith and grace, one wonders, in which I was going to get into the next question, so what's our role? You know, what can we do here? I know what you're doing with your show and in your blogs and so forth, but what can the average person on the street walking around becoming a little more aware of all of these things that are going on? I think a lot of folks feel rather inconsequential almost or ineffective. They can't. They don't know what to do. They can't discuss the matter. They just feel lost and confused.
Well, you can't.
So what could you do? What can you do to help?
You can't legislate morality. All you can do is create an environment in which discernment will thrive. And the easy answer, from an in an impersonal way, you know, speaking kind of universally, you know, for the global situation, is that cosmic love basically heals all and neutralizes the negativity. Cosmic love, universal love, divine love, God love, you know, true religion, spirituality, true spirituality. There's a big difference between spirituality and religiosity, I think. But true spirituality,
right,
is a moment-to-moment thing, and it really focuses on, and I sometimes put it in just in a simple formula, that pure intention, which is like the will of God for God, pure intention focuses attention with love's retention for conscientious ascension in the dimension of full comprehension where universal cosmic love rules. And the rules of universal cosmic love, the universal law language and form and frequency, you know, this is my blog, I go into that all the time. How do you frame? I mean, again, you can't legislate morality. So how do you frame it? How do you set it up? How do you qualify or condition or otherwise geometrize the law of the angles and the language of the angels in form and frequency so that people will get it? And, of course, my solution, and it's a technological solution, but it's a modern-day parable solution, like Christ sees book in agricultural metaphors, you know, loaves and the fishes and reap what we sow. Today would be the computer internet revolution of, you know, the evolution from hardware, you know, like with IBM and the giant mainframe computers, to software, you know, Microsoft and the software emphasis. And then there was NetWare with Netscape, and the internet came along. And what's next will be heartware, which is this heart coherence factor that frames or centers and connects, I should say, the mind congruence factor. And this gets into the evaluation criteria for mass-to-mass communications, what that will look like, how that will work. The vision alone can be the catalyst for a self-fulfilling prophecy. And those who get it, I recommend that they give it, you know, they share it. They network for the net worth of that vision of what hardware, you know, Web 3.0, hardware, cyber ethics, what that will look like, how that will work. That includes global telecare for global holistic healing with information resources, database resources for the analysis, prevention, and treatment of disease. That's state of the arts with new informatics technology. I kind of talked about earlier in the show this new information technology that organizes information that's highly personalized for your body type and current symptom profiles. This technology is available. It hasn't come online fully. I'm not saying it's being suppressed. It's just that it's emerging organically, and it's emerging, you know, like the emerging blueprint for a golden age. There are dimensions of it that can only be outpictured through heart coherence in the with the field. The field of the earth, the frequencies of the earth, the collective conscience of global humanity, the global mind is being transformed from the inside out, not from the outside in. That's the key factor with the frequency shift of the earth. The Schumann resonance is going up. It's affecting, you know, the higher alpha brain waves as relates to more of the right hemisphere, as corresponds more to heart coherence. And as people become more heart coherent, centered and connected with coherence, their mind congruence, their mind becomes more congruent. Congruent in terms of, you know, truth and love, as Gandhi said it. You know, of course, truth from the heart and love in terms of a higher concept of universal cosmic light language, universal law language of light and consciousness that will involve and evolve our individual and collective conscience with this interactive interface, this hardware, fulfillment of the computer internet revolution from hardware, software, and netware to hardware. Now, I've talked about this a lot. I write about it a lot. It's in process. I mean, I like to. My thing is, you know, keep the faith, see the good, and make it so. Pure intention focuses attention with love's retention for conscious ascension in a dimension of comprehension that really is the future now. It really
interesting
is
interesting what you're just saying. I mean, I was thinking as I was listening to you. There are many folks who are focusing in on many things you're saying at various levels. Maybe they're just aware that something's going on, and then there are greater truths to be known, and others that have just been involved with this and immersed in all of this that you've been talking about. You said something very interesting. You said a very simple, so it's, the question is simplicity. You made a simple statement. And then you went and elaborated a little bit more. It got a little bit more complex. People have to stop for a moment and say, well, what exactly did he say, and how does that relate to reality, and blah, blah, blah. They're thinking about all this stuff. So the question, and I'm wondering about in what I do, is how can you take the complex and make it simple for those who are yet to really be totally in involved with the nuances and the subtleties and the, all the stuff that you're talking about, which is, you know, you could watch videos for the rest of your life and study and so forth. But I'm wondering about folks that are just, you want to plant a seed, you want to get them to turn away from the lies and the deceptions. You want to help a person have discernment skills. So how, have you ever thought about formulating, here are the 10 most important foundational questions and points of view, and then take it from there? In other words, a simple message, foundational, is that possible?
There's first principles, foundational keys, and of course we all know that God is love and love heals all. Okay,
right.
But let's just take it from that. You know, pure and simple,
yeah.
Third grade, 9 years old. Okay, so the higher understanding of God love, divine love, the greater the results. Okay, so that's the success formula. So how do we do that? Well, again, if you ask yourself, well, what would Christ do? What would, for Christ's sake, what would we do when we're in our Christ conscience? You know, in our, what would collective Christ consciousness look like? And how do we get there? And of course, that's an abstract. You know, what would Christ do? But if you think about it, and this is really what it comes down to. Christ used parables.
Well,
parables he used were, simple stories that had profound universal truths or as applicable today as they were back in the agricultural age. So now we live in the computer internet age, the information age, and we have this instant everywhere interactive internet whereby we're all connected in principle. So how do you bring Christhood to that interactive process of instant everywhere? Okay, so again, using metaphor, exquisite metaphor, modern day parable, I've used consistently, the understanding of, God is love. God is geometrically ordered divinity, the law of the angles, and we're talking about the fractal order of the holographic universe. You can go into the scientific aspect of it, or you can just refer to it as geometry of divinity, that there's divine order, the harmony, the spheres, cosmically, there's law of the one, the two and one, the three and one, the four and one, the trinity, duality versus polarity, the understanding of the circle as the unified field, and the square, or the cosmic cube, or the New Jerusalem, the city four square, as the four sides of the pyramid of self and civilization. You can get into the geometry of all this. And so you've got this metaphor, explicit metaphor of God as the law of the angles. And then you've got the language of the angels. So you got the law of the angles, the language of the angels, an exquisite metaphor for heart coherence. The language of the angels, the universal standard, the fabric of the holographic universe, is the fabric of the frequencies of coherence. Is how it's all connected with the love frequency. It's a golden ratio algorithm of the heart rhythm when you're in the frequency of joy and holy compassion. Now think about that. This is, everyone wants divine love, joy, holy compassion, the spirit of forgiveness, and with that that's where discernment, that's where mind congruence, discernment comes out of heart coherence.
So what do you think, prayer, how does prayer relate to a person, just what you just said?
Well, that's a good question, and that really is the really kind of the keynote, because the power of prayer is really the power of love or the power of God.
Right.
And how you pray, it begins with the pure intention for the will of God, the will of love, the will of God, yeah, thy will be done. So you've got this pure intention focuses attention, and pure intention again is heart coherence. When you're coherent, your attention is focused in a congruent way. If you're not coherent, you can't be congruent. If you're not in your heart, you can be logical, left brain, letter of the law, but the letter of the law killeth the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law is divine love, is coherence. So I'm getting kind of excited because not many people ask me such a question I'm so fond of.
Well, the fear is, it's prayer gets you focused. We talk about that. How can a person focus? And in prayer is one of those ways. And, of course, the classic case is how do we pray? And you've been explaining all of these different things to focus on and to understand and to really ask in prayer.
And that's why in prayer, you begin with prayer, and this is pretty much universal, East and West.
Right.
You begin the prayer with coherence, with the attitude of gratitude. The attitude of gratitude, of love and forgiveness, is coherence. So you begin a prayer with gratitude for your many blessings. Before you begin asking for stuff, you know, you basically resonate with the spirit of giving. Of love is forgiving. It's for giving. So you give love with gratitude for all the blessings, you know, that one has with your family, just, you know, all the blessings. And it's like waking up on the right side of the bed in the morning. You can count your blessings, or you can kick at the pricks, so to speak. You know, you can wake up with resentment and ruin your whole day. And it's like, every day is a prayer. Every moment is a prayer. And the prayer of desire with pure intention focuses attention with love's retention. The prayer of desire with pure intent is rarely, it's not seldom the prelude of the revelation. I think that's a Krishnamurti quote.
Krishnamurti.
Krishnamurti
quote. By the way, I spent a lot of time with him back in the 70s. But
seriously?
Yeah, I had a chance to be with him in Sonn in Switzerland, and Brockwood, England, and here in Ojai and San Diego. Yeah, it was an influence in my life.
Well, Dennis, I've talked with you before about, you know, your background. You've been a university, junior college professor.
Well, I've taught critical thinking here at the local
critical thinking
college.
Yeah, you've taught at critical thinking and. You've had over the years, you've got kind of a parallel history to me. You started out with a natural food store and eatery, and
right.
You've got into the natural food business like I did after my natural food store and eatery, and we've kind of gone a parallel with food reserves, you know, providing food reserves as a preparedness thing. I used to be an Eagle Scout and be prepared, and I've helped people get their food reserves over the years, and you continue to do that, you've actually got, what is it your business called?
Prepare Direct.
Prepare Direct.
Doctor.
So anyone's interested in the preparedness field, preparedness supplies, Dennis is a longtime expert in that. I highly recommend
you. I've been doing it for 41 years now.
PrepareDirect.com.
Yeah, just one D.
And you're very philosophical about it. You're not a doom and gloomer. I like your whole.
I try to, you know, what you're doing, and I appreciate what you're doing. I try, rather than focus as you too, rather than focus 100% on the stuff of life.
Yeah.
Get this, get that, is what you need. What you need. It's there's the spiritual aspect, as we've said. The idolatry of self-reliance is when you. Totally rely on your stuff, and you forget the spiritual or godly or biblical perspectives of truly being prepared. And it's everything you've been talking about. You have to have an attitude, a consciousness to be prepared for the things that are going to be happening and not rely on yourself. And I think that's the key. Do you rely on yourself or do you rely on your Creator? That's the balance that we all look for throughout our whole life.
Yeah, whether we have a vertical relationship with the Creator or a horizontal relationship, business with humans.
Yeah, that's right. And I think one of the greatest one of the greatest lessons and the greatest things we can learn, and some of us get better at it, some of us never learn it, is to discern this word, you know, I like you use it a lot, I use it a lot, to discern between our own stuff and our own minds and our own will, and then discern between God's will, the cosmic will, the Holy Spirit's will, And we spend our whole life trying to discern who's doing the talking here and who's leading me in what direction. And that's, of course, we talk about prayer. Hopefully a person will become more aware of the difference between where those voices coming from. Are your own stuff? Are they actual godly or angelic voices directing you to grow, to be renewed, or directing you? And once again, we have to be very careful, because many of those voices and those thoughts are I use the term of the dark side.
From
they're
the dark
deceptive,
side. Yeah.
Yeah. Dark they're deceptive side voices, deceptive leadings. And we have to, and, you know, we talked about
so discernment,
that, look around us.
So discernment is the biggie. And I like to think of the Holy Trinity as, you know, really the key to the Trinity of synergy of power, wisdom, and love. You know, we've got, there's divine power and there's human power. There's divine wisdom and there's human intellect. There's divine love and there's human love that's sometimes not so divine. And the balance, you know, you might say the Holy Trinity, that's holy, holy. I mean, it's holy. There's a balance because, you know, discernment is knowing when to thrust with power or cohere with love. So you've got the power trips of the power elite in the world that are really trying to keep people in fear so they can get them clamoring for security so they can lock down, you know, their...
Yeah, and those are the voices that often, the only voices that people hear.
And that's the only
voices
in the,
and they
in the
don't
main,
know what else is out there.
In the corporate media, that's pretty much the message of fear, and I'll, you know, if it's a candidate running for office, they're going to, some of them just ramp up the fear, and I'm going to take care of you. They'll talk about the terror that the insiders in government created. You know, and then they're going to be the solution as the new head of government. You've got that political
thing going on. It's a Hegelian dialectic. They create the mess, and then they'll create the way to get out of it. At least
the materialistic dialectic. Now, the spiritual dialectic of thesis, antithesis, synthesis is you've got divine power and divine wisdom. And with the discernment, or you know, the Trinity again, you could, any of the two of the three can be at the top, and the synergy of in the Trinity is the other. In other words, if you've got divine wisdom and divine power, then divine love will follow. If you've got divine love and divine wisdom, then divine power will follow. I mean, it's just like this: the synergy can be. When they're in balance, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. And that's where the synergy comes in. That's where the holy, with wholeness, holistic, whole systems theory, the concept of synergy, the whole being greater than the sum of the parts. That is just opposite of the divide and conquer thing of the dialectic, where you create a crisis to manage a crisis into a new solution, where you solidify the crisis with power over everybody. You know, and that's the difference between. You know, and that's why the Holy Trinity has always been in East and West. In the East, you've got Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. In the West, you've got Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, you've got these different models of this Trinity. But basically, you know, it really comes down to, you know, power, wisdom, and love. The power of wisdom with love. And that's, you know, cosmic love. I'm playing with that model all the time. You know, the linear left brain letter of the law, you know, the right brain spherical spirit of the law, and the co-creation between left and right brain, western hemisphere, eastern hemisphere, and you've got balance. The co-creation with balance, you know, with universal love, cosmic love, natural law, call it natural law, God love, divine love, you know, the checks and balances can represent universal rights in the public sphere. What that would look like in the Holy Trinity, in all four dimensions of the E in the love model that I reference as the four square pyramid of self and civilization, different metaphors for that. These metaphors, these exquisite metaphors, are about the only way to understand so big and so vast as the first principles of cosmic law, and that are universal, and that, you know, again, pure geometry, circle, triangle, and square, these frames of reference, you know, right dynamic energy fields, round magnetic energy fields, radiant energy fields. You see it in alchemy, astrology, you know, the geometry of divinity. You understand, you know, the law of the angles and the language of the angels. They're all connected in ways that really, you know, reference the keys to the kingdom. And the keys to the kingdom conscience, the king being an acronym for the keys to the internalization of God, love, whereby all are sovereign king, where we have a relationship with the Creator, where we're into co-creation with God in all that we do, moment to moment, in our relationships with others, an interactive communication process with 100 or 1,000 or 1,000,000 people at the same time, how that would work. Now, these concepts are abstract for people to hear for the first time, but my gosh, I've printed dozens of articles that talk about it, the same thing in different ways to kind of try to make the abstract simple, congruent. I mean, God is love, but it's
the key, simplicity. Yeah, it's easy simplicity. To make it complex, but very difficult to make it simple.
Well,
what was Einstein's thing? I mean, think about it, E=mc². How simple can you get an incredibly complex concept? But he did it on that, at least.
Einstein said that you know, if you can't explain it simply, you don't understand it.
Yeah,
that was one of his things.
Krishnamurti, one of the things that made him an amazing fellow is he could take some fairly abstract, complex, psychological, spiritual, whatever, and make them rather simple. He had some very profound things to say.
It's true, and I've gone back and forth. You know, sometimes I keep it super simple, and people thinking I'm airy fairy with the God is love stuff. And other times I go into the unified field theory of consciousness and light language, and in Web 3.0 cyber ethics. So the techies will have something to chew on, and then I lose the people that, you know, want to keep it simple. So, you know, it's like.
Yeah, it's hard to talk to somebody who has no concept of God, say an atheist, and then has no idea what love really means, especially in our languaging, in our day and age, and the English language is so, it just doesn't get to the point. It's very difficult language to talk about love, because you love your hot dogs. You know, you love the ball game, you love your wife, and then you love God. I mean, what do you mean?
Well,
so people don't understand love. They don't understand God, and yet it is the foundational principle. That's the primary commandment. You know, love your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength,
and
of course, love your neighbor as yourself. But
whether you're theosophical or philosophical, I think people understand that what goes around comes around. We reap what we sow. We get what we ask for, whether we know it or like it or not. In the larger scheme of things, you know. That, you know, it's not what happens in the world, it's what we do with what happens, you know.
Make lemonade out of lemons, you know, that sort of thing. You're right. And so how we focus, how do you focus on what's going on in your life? And when you really, I think one of the key things, you got to wrap it up here, is ultimately when things are difficult or confusing, who do we rely on? Do we rely on ourselves, or do we rely on a higher power, or God, or something that is has the truth, because we don't quite understand it, and so that becomes the key. That's one of the first things I've always said in talking to people. Who do we trust?
How do you rely on?
Do we trust ourselves? Do we trust the Lord? Do we trust what we get in prayer? Do we trust our
higher
parents,
self, our real self, our Christ self, our discernment, that small voice within, do we trust that? Really, if people don't have that feedback loop, if they haven't got a conscience, if they're pretty much robotized, and there are some people have been mechanized, robotized, conditioned to where they lack that small voice of conscience. And again,
they rely on themselves, then they're going to get continue to be in trouble as soon as they let go and say, Lord, show me the truth. You'd be amazed the things that suddenly happen. And it's just letting go of trying to do it all yourself. That's what our whole society has told us to do. It's all about you. It's you're in control. It's everything's relative. Your truth is all that junk. And people are lost. They're confused. Well, they're fearful. They're all this stuff. And they're easily manipulated, too.
There's a lot of UFO people on my Cosmic Law list, believe it or not, because I address their issues quite often. And of course, their whole issue is that it really comes down to whether you're service to self or service to others.
Yeah, that's right.
If you're service to others, again, love is for
that's the second command. Love thy neighbor as thyself.
Love thy neighbor as thyself.
That's what we're told to do.
Love is for giving, not for getting.
That's right. Absolutely.
Well, we're going to have to do a wrap. Dennis, I'm grateful you came on the show.
Yeah, well, I'm glad
we
had a bunch of chit-chat. Always exciting. And good luck to you with what you're doing. You're trying to plant those seeds, and that's what it takes.
Well, thanks, Dennis. And
okay.
For those listening, thanks for listening. Keep the faith, see the good, and let's make it so. Blessings till next time. Bye-bye.
May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.